This morning we read from John's first letter, chapter 3. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. We pray, these are your words, dear Heavenly Father. Sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Please be seated. Well, I have some exciting news for you today. After teaching for a number of years now, I finally figured out the way to have class never go badly. And, you know, this is one of those things, both for faculty and education majors, all that good stuff. This isn't a complicated thing. You don't need a whole pile of books to figure this out. I'm just going to share the simple steps, in fact, with you right now. No more worries. No more endless hours of class prep, no more wondering about those pesky student evaluations. So here's how it goes. So step one, to never have a class go badly. Step one, open up a Word document. Step two, on that Word document, type a resignation letter. And yeah, step three, print it out and all that good stuff, but give it to someone. Okay, you can see I'm partially kidding with that. But I am only partially kidding with that. You will never teach a bad class if you just don't do it at all. You won't let anyone down. The only way to guarantee we won't mess something up is to just not do it. And, you know, imagine we just stay at home, are independently wealthy, have Amazon packages come to us and never have outside human contact. Imagine how few people we would let down. My point with this is we're going to circle back to that with the text today as it says, when our hearts condemn us, when we feel at fault, when we realize those mistakes, but it makes it sound like God knowing all things is helpful in that situation. And usually, I don't think that's the way we think. Usually, if something goes wrong, we sin, we think, I want to keep that on the down low. I don't want people to know about that, let alone, I certainly don't want, it'd be nice to God if God didn't know that, being all powerful and holy and all that. And so it should be jarring where the text is like, when our hearts condemn us, the solution is somehow God knowing all things. That's not usually how we think. So we want to hopefully try to figure that out this morning. Now, I'm sure there are a few different ways that this is true and applicable, but the one way I want to go at it today is to think about how in this letter of John, a big theme in it is love and the love that Christians should have in their lives and show to the people around them. But also, though he stresses that a bunch, he also points out our imperfections and our inability to do that very well. There are passages like in chapter 1 where he'll say if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And it's sort of one of those things where I think as Christians, abstractly, we know that and we maybe take that to heart. Abstractly, I see myself, yeah, I am a sinner. I sin. But when we think about how we describe our days, how I might describe a bad day. You know, when I go home to my wife and she asks me if I had a bad day, I don't say, oh, original sin got me again. I mean, I could. It would technically be true. But I highlight concrete, specific things that went wrong. Maybe I did teach a class poorly. Maybe there's other things. Maybe I'm like, am I spending enough time with my kids? My good parent. The concrete things are what get us. I think that is, you know, if we kind of think about now concretely our days, I don't know what goes on in your day totally, but I'm kind of guessing that when you have a bad day, part of it does involve kind of a feeling of messing something up. Did I mess up as a teacher or student? Did I mess up at work? Do I feel like I've let down family or friends? Am I aware of my shortcomings? These are things that we don't say it in the exact words. Sin is the problem today. We use these other ways. And I want to highlight that because I think if we realize these really specific things are connected, now all of a sudden it certainly sounds a whole lot more important, like, oh, this sounds like, you know, figuring out this text, figuring out when our hearts condemn us, even though we don't use those words, figuring that out seems like it's very practical for living each and every day of our lives, especially facing a bad day. I think we could think through several unhelpful ways to face a bad day, unhelpful strategies. We could think through, I'm a sinner, imperfect. Well, I guess that's just the way it is, whatever. I don't need to self-improve or bother with it. Nothing to be done. We could try an avoidance strategy. Well, can't mess up the stuff I don't do. Try to avoid human contact or something like that. But I'm guessing the life of sitting at home waiting for Amazon packages and not seeing people, I'm guessing that's not super fulfilling all the time. Or we could just beat ourselves up each and every day with our shortcomings, aware of the faults. Well, I don't know. I just feel down. I'm depressed. Those are going to be, I think, ways that are ultimately not the way God wants us to live out our lives. He's given us so many blessings. It sure sounds like in the scripture, he wants us to be positive and thankful for the many things he's given us and not dragged down constantly. And so I recommend a different approach based on the text that we have before us today. So it says, talks about if our hearts condemn us, so when we're aware of our faults. So what we do about it first, remember, as the text says, God is greater than our hearts. God is greater. It doesn't say when your hearts condemn us, well, here's a to-do list to fix that, to solve it yourself. It says God is greater than our hearts. The solution has to come from outside of us. And that's why it's such a great comfort that God the Father took initiative in sending his Son, Jesus our Savior, that he lived a perfect life. And that's not only an abstract truth. It's that he lived perfectly for your imperfections and my imperfections to wipe them out. He was the perfect sacrifice on the cross so that our imperfections and sins on that cross would be gone, so that when God looks at us now, he sees us covered in perfection through a different light than the many imperfections and sins we've done. When he rises again from the dead, he shows us the perfection that God has in store for us now as we look forward to life eternal, even in heaven, the perfection there that he has for us. All of this is thanks to God and what he's accomplished for us. And you know, God had to be greater than our hearts because our unbelief and sinfulness, we're not going to turn that around. He's greater. He came to us in the word and baptism to change that heart, overcome those doubts, overcome that unbelief, to work faith in our hearts. So now we can see every day in a new light in spite of those imperfections. And we can even look forward to the perfections in heaven thanks to what he's done for us. And the second thing now that our text gives us a positive way forward to is now circling back to that little comment about God knowing all things tucked away in that little verse. Why would it say such a thing? But I think when we bear in mind the imperfections of each and every day and how we don't say it in so many words, but sin is involved with that, it's a great comfort that God knows all things. He knows that in our Christian lives, there are going to be imperfections. There's going to be a messiness and grittiness to the Christian life that it's not just like I'm going to waltz in somewhere and just do something perfectly, but it's okay because God knows all things. He knows you and I are going to mess up even when we try to do something good. But he says and he welcomes us to go ahead and do that. Go ahead and do that. Help. Be beneficial. Serve your neighbor. Serve God. We can go forward doing that boldly, not weighed down by, oh, am I going to mess this up? Is it going to be imperfect? Well, yeah, it's going to be. And yes, we can self-improve, but think of the much better attitude that we now have, knowing, yeah, God knows that it's going to be imperfect, but he sends us forward to do it anyways. And you know what? It's not the thing that makes us right with God. It's not the thing that gets us heaven. But God has given us a new and better attitude to approach each and every day. We can embrace and realize, yes, it's going to be imperfect, but I hope we see dare to do things imperfectly. Dare to do things imperfectly. That's what we're going to be doing in this life. But yeah, as professors, we shouldn't all totally just resign. And for whatever profession you guys all have and are working toward, yeah, you know, there's going to be rough patches in that. There are going to be rough patches. But don't resign. Don't quit from that either. Go ahead and realize that and embrace it, knowing God sees those imperfections. He knows all things. And he says, go ahead and do that. Go ahead and work at that. On the one hand, he's covered our imperfections and sins through Jesus, so we have a healthy attitude to approach those things. And on the other hand, because he knows all things and he knows the messiness of each and every day, he knows, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Dare to do that. Dare to serve others. Dare to do the best we can. Go ahead anyways, because we know that our Lord has us covered. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to live out our lives and vocations in service to you and our neighbor. Forgive us for the imperfections and keep our eyes on the perfection of heaven that you have in store for us, thanks to Jesus and his saving work. Amen.